flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we are back. Second hour, plenty to go through. Had a lot of great questions and conversations in the first hour. We've got the 97.1 side joining us for the second hour, so more people, more questions, more audience. Just love it. You can give me a call here right now today, 314-436-7900. Got plenty of time for everybody in this second hour. And we've got Rick on the line, and Rick has a question for us. What's going on, Rick?
Good morning, or good afternoon now.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Appreciate that.
I have a my back patio is covered by a corrugated tin roof that leaks. It's leaking a lot today. Okay. I kind of have a two-part question. One is, you know, what kind of material would you use to put on it to stop the leaks? You know, it's all in the seams. You know, I've already caulked where the seams have overlapped and tried to glue them together. They're all screwed in, but, you know, it still leaks. So I want to find, like, a cover all. And then also, the roof has no pitch. So, and it is tucked to the house. So, you know, could I drop that, you know, half inch or a quarter of an inch or something and get some drainage? And, you know, is that a good idea, or would it pull the tuck away and cause more problems?
Well, so, I mean, kind of yes to a little bit of everything, including if you lowered it, that could help some of the leaks, but you do have to watch how it's connected to the house and what happens back there, because these kind of corrugated patio roofs systems they put generally just kind of bolt to either the fascia, maybe right underneath the gutter, and lowering it could do some damage back there or break open a sealant that's back there. So the type of roof structure that you have, it would move the water away from the seams a little bit quicker if it did have somewhat of a pitch. But it, again, like we said, it could cause something in the back there. You're really up against kind of what you're doing with this system is to just keep trying to find the areas. You got to try and seal it up, caulk it, do whatever you can. When it's dry, make sure it's dried real good when you do it. Or the only other thing you could consider, and there's a limited life expectancy too, and I would talk to people about warranties, but there are professional services with roof coatings where maybe they could coat the whole top side of it. And it's the same thing you're doing, but if they could clean it up, coat the whole thing, and that seals everything up for now. How long that lasts, I don't know. How well they'll warranty it, if they'll say, well, we'll guarantee it won't leak for 12 months, but not after that, might not end up being worth it. But that's another avenue you could kind of consider, is there a product that could coat that whole roof that helps seal that up? Because that stuff seals up pretty,
Do you have any ideas or any suggestions on a retail product that I could purchase and do that?
I do not. I really don't know of any retail roof coating purchases or products to just purchase like that. I'm not sure what the roof coating companies even kind of use in theirs or anything. I'm not very familiar with it, other than I've seen it done. I know it exists. I've had a lot of clients with flat roofs in the city that say, yeah, we just coated it with this company and it fixed everything for now. But there's just a big life expectancy question. But so the way completely out is to build a patio roof, which is going to be an expense. So,
yeah.
So to really do it and say, I never have to worry about it, like through Mosby Building Arts, I get a 10-year workmanship warranty, build a complete roof that then is a good actual roof system. But yeah, again, you're going to be a huge expense. So especially if you can DIY a lot of this, sometimes it's just worth the battle of you're doing something to it every other summer or something like that when it gets warm to try and stop these leaks.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing.
Does it have like, is it one of those systems where it has like a gutter system at the end of it that's built in? Oh, it doesn't? So everything just rolls off of it?
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, it's exposed wood underneath and then just the corrugated tin on top. I mean, there's not even any kind of backer board or anything like that. So,
yeah,
you know, that is problematic in itself. And, you know, we're not looking to go ahead and build, a new part of the roof. So that's,
sure. Yeah.
That's kind of out of the question too.
Totally,
you know,
totally
I'm just
get
looking,
that.
Just,
yeah.
Just looking for the quick fix, you know, so whenever we're sitting outside, you know, we're not getting rained on.
So the screws that go through that corrugated, they should be like kind of a flatter Phillips type screw, almost like a cabinet type looking screw, where the back side of the screw is kind of almost like a washer built in.
Yes.
And then there's a rubber washer that goes on there first, and that rubber kind of helps seal that hole. You might need to also maybe replace a bunch of those or all of those screws with the rubber washers too. That could be an area where it's getting through.
Yeah, and I think that this is probably going toward the 4 to 5 to 6 year, you know, life so far.
Oh, okay.
About 5 or 6 years old. So it's not that bad, but still it's bad. And, you know, I'm just looking for suggestions.
Yeah, I would try and seal everything that you can. Maybe look for a product that will go over the whole thing. Just do some research
on
roof coating products that you roll on, and that could help quite a bit. And then you can pull out those screws and get new screws with the rubber washer on them to just basically replace all those screws one at a time, and that could be another area that helps you out.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. Yeah, no, you're very welcome. Yep. I totally get, though, keeping up with it, it's – in this industry, it's about knowing what you're up against, to where that system's great and okay if you're a good DIYer and you don't mind performing the maintenance and it costs way, way less. And these are the decisions we're making on a daily basis about all sorts of products like that. And how long do we think they'll last? How well are they made? What are even bathroom and kitchen faucets, and you get it from the plumbing supply house and you have a plumber put it in, and the plumber will help back that whole faucet and system up with years to come with the warranty. You get it from Home Depot and it's got some plastic internal parts and it's not brass fittings, and then the plumbers are like, yep, that's why that faucet costs so much less, and that's okay. If you're good, like myself, you're a good DIYer, I look at it and I go, I could replace the faucet again. I'm good for that. Not everybody is and can, so that's kind of the decisions that you're making. But, hey, we're going to jump into our first break here, so get with us. Anything you need, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back with more to come after this. All right, we're back. Having a great time today. KMOX Home.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Home Improvement Show, your route to me, anything you need, 314-436-7900. Pick up the phone, give me a shout, we'll figure out whatever we can for you, whatever you need. Just like Chris did, we got Chris on the line here. Let's see what's going on. Chris, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me, Rich?
I can. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I had a thought on what the last guy was asking about with that roof.
Yeah, with the roof.
And obviously you're a professional and you do this every day and sometimes on TV, I'm sure too. But what I was thinking about is, could you possibly put some angled pieces in there to elevate the end of the house and let it slope down to the other end so that you didn't have to worry about the connection to the house breaking or doing something there, and then just maybe flash it into the roof or something like that. And that would save him, you know, it's possibly a similar cost as trying to paint that thing or something like that. But that's just a thought I would have and maybe think about trying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, every situation is a little bit different, and it's maybe something like that would work and help out. It's, yeah, hard to tell till you're kind of there really looking at it and everything. And I the last roof I installed that was kind of a corrugated system like this, little patio cover roof we did, that roof connection at the house, at the fascia, wherever you connect that, is definitely where I see the most problems with that type of roof system. So we did one a couple years ago, and of course when we did it, we took off siding, we got it up against the house, and we put in a lot of counter flashing that went up behind the siding and behind the house wrap, and just covered with a good size counter flashing to kind of just cover up that seam, because when you caulk that to the wall or to the fascia, that's just, even if you don't tip that roof, that's only going to last so long. So some kind of metal flashing, something coming down there, would be a good idea to cover that backside up, whether, no matter how he gets the water running off the roof. So it's a good idea, though. I appreciate the call and the advice there on that. The idea is, yeah, no problem. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Rich.
Yeah, and of course, well, it rains like this, and it brings out everything. It brings in the past couple weeks, I've seen three homes with gutter issues. One, we're going to replace all the gutters, downspouts, everything on the house. So some of the things we see quite often is just the fact that if you haven't had new gutters, if you haven't had gutters put on in the past 5 to 10 years at best, then you probably have 5-inch gutters. If it's been well more than that, if it's been 30, 40 something years, you may have 4-inch gutters. So the amount of water that we need to manage coming off of roofs just seems to have really increased. And getting to a bigger 6-inch gutter that sits nice and square, drains off well, an oversized downspout to get that water moving down, it's still a system that could be overwhelmed by a big enough rain or an issue. It just, you get too much. Each size gutter, each size pipe in the ground is only going to handle so much water. If you ever seen the sewers back up in the street and it kind of fills up a low spot in the street for a half hour or an hour or so in a really bad rain coming down, it's a lot of water coming down. It's overfilling a 30 to a 36 inch pipe. So if you put a 4-inch pipe in the ground, well, a 6-inch pipe's going to handle more water than that, but you could still get a rain big enough, fast enough to overpower that drain. And sometimes there's just, unfortunately, not too much you could do about that other than know the system's working, keep it clean, and know it's working 99% of the year. When you get one or two of those 4-5-inch gully washer rains inside of a couple few hours, it just may be something that happens that you have to deal with. It's unfortunate, but it just does. And we see that also sometimes where it's just so much. But one of the houses I'm looking at, the one I looked at this morning, it's got the half round old copper gutters. Some of them are really leaning down, so they're pouring off the edge. There's screens over them, but they move around and they shift, and there's spots where they're open and a lot of tree debris is getting in there. So there's issues there that could be taken care of that we think could really help out an overall water issue of the whole thing. But like I said, go around, look, check it out, and really see what's happening during these storms, and maybe we can figure out what's going on and help you out with something like that. Or you give us a call, let us know what you're seeing, what you're finding, and we can talk about it live right here on the air today. 314-436-7900 is the number to get into me. So I go around and I see these things. I see these houses with the gutter issues going on, with the gutters needing to replace. If you're looking and you are walking around your house, if you do, look at the downspouts, look at the elbows, look at the seams in those downspouts and see if there's discoloration. See if it looks like color's been coming out of there. If there's kind of a black line, black gunk, if you see, that means they're probably clogged up or have been clogged up at some time and water leaking, and it's trying to push those leaves and debris out of there and the dirt out of there with it. So when you see that, understand that could be something that definitely should have a professional or somebody clean out, look at, and figure out what to do with that. But I see a lot of other types of projects too. And I see a lot of wants and dreams of houses with room additions and kitchens and bathrooms and all these different projects that people would love to have done. And just in the past couple of weeks, I saw a couple different projects that both of them, well, one was talking about wanting a roof system, and it would have been kind of built and very near the edge of a very tall retaining wall. I saw another one where there's a pier and a post that's kind of failing, moving, sinking down. The post is starting to lean that's supporting the deck. And again, that pier is about a foot or so from about a 2 foot tall retaining wall. And there's a lot of, there's a lot to consider when you put in a support and a footing that close to a retaining wall in the yard. You got to figure how that's going to work. If you're too close to it, there's frost lines to worry about with how deep you go. So the, it'd be beneficial to take that down to the frost line of the ground in front of the retaining wall, not of the ground behind the retaining wall. Because if you're close enough to it, you can still get a frost line underneath there that can move that around. But you also got to think about the pressure. If you're too close to it and the weight that ground's holding, it could be pushing against that retaining wall, putting weight against that retaining wall, and that's when everything kind of slides, tips, moves, goes to the side, post starts getting crooked. So you really got to understand and have someone kind of engineer, how do I do a concrete support pier that holds up a structure, a roof or a deck or something like that with a retaining wall in the yard? Definitely have good professionals check that out and understand how you need to dig that out and how you need to get that support. So we're about halfway through this last hour, but there's another full half hour to go. There's a lot of show for everyone. If you have any topics, any questions, any comments, any concerns, feel free to get with me in the next segment, 314-436-7900. We'll take a short break, and we'll have plenty more to come after this. Don't touch that dial. All right, guys, here we are. We've got plenty of time for everybody, so again, feel free to jump in, 314-436-7900. Anything you need about your house, we got it for you. We got Michael on the line. Let's see what's happening with Michael. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Hey, I've had a house now for about a year and a half, so I want to see if you can address the issue of those infamous basement smells. You know, that occasional must, that occasional sewer gas, whatever, but it's not there all the time, just occasional, right? So I'm just trying to really troubleshoot and get rid of that totally if possible so I can really enjoy my basement. And so any thoughts on what causes that? I think there was an old septic system, like an old well, you know, the house was built in 1949. So I said, you know, you can do the baking soda vinegar thing down the drain, you know, that kind of takes care of it. But I just wonder if there's kind of a master solution or what steps do you take to kind of really get rid of those odors?
So is it more of, like the sewer gas smell from the drains, or is it like just a general musty?
A little of both, but it, like I said, it's occasional. Okay. It's not all the time. That makes it hard to pinpoint, right? What's
yes, and being built in 1949, yeah, there could be, you could have a couple things going on where one could be having the actual floor drain cleaned out, having the drains scoped out or augered out to make sure the drain underneath the floor is really working well and everything's going away, because sometimes kind of backups and just everything in those pipes, if they haven't been cleaned in a long time, sometimes those pipes have like a, it's like a sludge, like you can auger it and the auger that spins will go through it and back again, and it's like a mucky sludge. And that's why years ago they came up with the whole, it's kind of like a power pressure wash for inside of those drain pipes, where it's just a really hard spray that will flush all that out and push it down the line past some low dips and areas of those pipes. So that can, having those floor drains checked and cleaned out and flushed out can help with the sewer gas and times that may be happening. But other times, the musty smell can definitely come from damp areas areas where you're just, and it's not even necessarily wet, but even just moisture from different areas. If you have an area where the house overhangs the foundation and it's damp outside and there's insulation and stuff in there, or I've seen it where they do kind of like the front porch over a baited out area of the home that is not over the foundation. So it's kind of like a trapped ground underneath a baited out area. So there's areas that you can kind of get that dirt, must, wetness at certain times. One thing I would definitely say to watch out for is when you smell like the musty smell and you're like, it just kind of feels like musty, a little damp or something like that. Think about when that is and what the weather's been doing. Is it a time like now where we're getting a lot of rain and then you get the musty smell for the next 3-4 days?
No, sometimes, but sometimes not. That's right. Yeah. I can't pinpoint. Sometimes it's beautiful. It's been dry for, you know, a week, and then all of a sudden I'll smell it.
Yeah.
What about the insulation? That's one thing I haven't replaced yet. Could that be part of the musty? I mean, it's been there a while. It needs to be done on the basement.
I mean, it's more what's getting to the insulation itself. If it's
right,
a lot of air infiltration, if there is an overhanging part with dirt on the other side and you're getting a lot of moisture, or if there's a part of the house that's a crawl space that you don't always see or go in. So I would really recommend just a really good inspection of, one, the drains under the house, just basically a sewer company that does camera scoping and augering and flushing out, and have someone like that come out and just check out all the drains underneath the basement floor, make sure they're good, make sure there's no issues, and make sure they're cleaned out. And then I would also recommend a good inspection just of the basement by a person similar to myself that's like, okay, I get these musty smells sometimes. Look at the house, we look at the outside, we look at the inside, we look at all these conditions, we look inside of things that may be suspect, and try and just help pinpoint, is there something that we find that we see that could be causing that to happen? Because each house is so different, it really takes a really good inspection.
Wow, great advice there. I will definitely pursue that avenue and maybe get this solved once and for all.
Yeah, yeah.
Another quick one. Do you ever have an issue of, like, intermittent, you know, your furnace will work and then it just quits, and I go reset the breaker, I have to get it working, but I'm told that there's actually a code that's displayed that helps them diagnose exactly what's wrong.
Yeah, but, yeah, there is, and that's, I just had one at my daughter's house, because hers quit working, and I got my HVAC guy set up to go out there and look at it. But in the interim, her fiance was like, oh, if you click the switch on and off, I've had that happen before, and that resets it. And it did reset it, and the heat did start working again, and it erased that code. So yeah, on the furnace, there's a light that will blink. And so when your furnace stops working, if you look at that light and you see how it's blinking, it's kind of like Morse code. There's going to be different, and there should be a sticker on the furnace that kind of shows you what the codes mean. So if it's like two short blinks and a long blink, or if it's three quick short blinks and then a little space and then three again and a little space. So it's kind of almost like a Morse code, how this thing blinks. And you, once they know how that's blinking, they can look at that code and figure out why it's been kicking off. So yeah, there's several reasons. It could be just air not flowing properly, that it just kicks it off. If something's blocked somewhere, if your furnace filter's dirty, that could kind of change that airflow and cause that. So there's so many things that can cause it, but yeah, look at that blinking light and write down what it is. how it's blinking before you reset that switch or that breaker, so that'll kind of indicate to them why did it occur.
All right, sounds good. Great advice. Thank you very much. Very helpful show that you offer here.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate that, and I try my best to be as helpful as possible. So I'm glad it works, and I'm glad it works at least most of the time anyway. So, but yeah, that's was definitely some good questions, and I would say that is something looking at that basement for whoever, for Michael. Definitely, that's something that Mosby Building Arts can take a look at. It's something that some of us are pretty well versed in: water control, moisture, looking at the house scientifically. How does it really work? What causes things to happen? And really be able to figure out some things that sometimes even the builders can't figure out, that they know standard stuff and they know, like, this is just how we do this. But then understanding how the house works and seeing certain conditions can lead to a diagnosis of, this is something we see, this is something that's happening, and it could be playing a part in that musty smell, and then coming up with a good solution to it. I've seen a lot of people go straight to a foundation company, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes we look at it two or three different ways just to get everybody's piece of advice. The house that I was talking about that I stopped by to look at this morning, we had our foundation specialist out there yesterday just to say, well, the person that uncovered everything and does all the tearing out and drying out of the home where the water came in was there. I was there looking at just how the house is functioning and where water's going. And then we got the foundation company too to say, is there anything you see that maybe we're missing, just to reassure? And we kind of got it where we think it's in one direction. We didn't really have much for the foundation company, but it's so good to get all the levels of advice, because I've had plenty of people where they have a foundation company come out there. I got water coming in and I'm seeing this and it runs down this wall, and they say, well, we can put this system on your foundation wall and we can guide that water into the sump pump system. Well, but the water's really coming from a window leak 2 or 3 feet above the foundation through the actual wall. So it's rotting out the wall. So managing that water once it gets to the basement, I had one couple weeks ago that a handyman caulked the inside of the floor joist, bam board, the sill plate inside on top of the foundation, just caulked all the seams and everything, and said, well, if that doesn't stop the water from coming in, call somebody that's good with the exterior and have them look at it. And I'm kind of going, wow, well, all that wood framing is like an inch and a half thick. And if your caulk is on the inside of that and your water is coming from the outside of that, caulking that, all that's really going to do is speed up the rotting process. It's going to stop the water from getting in temporarily, speed up the getting wet and rotting process of the wood until it starts coming inside again, address what's going on from the exterior to make that water go away. And so just a bit of advice to say, have multiple levels of people look at this, because sometimes the water isn't always coming from just the foundation. There's a way it's getting there. It's running downhill and it's getting there, and you got to kind of find where is that starting point. Sometimes it's at the gutters and the roof, and sometimes it's at the wall, it's at the door, it's at the window, it's at the outlet that penetrates the wall by the door. There's all these different places that this can happen, and just controlling how the water comes in isn't always the best solution. But we're going to get our final break in here, and you know, talking about how water runs and going downhill and all this stuff. Maybe in the next segment, we'll talk briefly on how water actually runs uphill. Might be a little bit of a surprise to somebody. But also, if you need anything, we got one more segment segment for you. We got time for a call for you for sure. 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And, you know, I did a little teaser there that before the break, maybe we talk about how water rolls uphill. Before we get into that, I did want to add one more thing for Michael in the last call on that basement. When you are having the sewer gas smells, if you have a floor drain in that basement or one or two floor drains, make sure there's some water in that trap, because the water can evaporate out of there and just get so low that it starts letting those sewer gas smells. So it could be as simple as pouring a bucket of water down that floor drain and making sure there's water in there to block the actual sewer gas smells from coming out of there. But so looking at water runs downhill, water takes the path of least resistance, air does the same thing, kind of takes the path of least resistance. But have you ever seen water go up? Have you ever heard the explanation of how we get water to move uphill? Well, that is ice damming on your roof. And basically your roof is slanted, angled down. Everything should run right off of it. But when you get snow on your roof and that snow is sitting on the edge of the roof and you have heat escaping from your home, and this is part of why it is so important for the attic insulation and air sealing and trying to keep the heat in your home and the attic, the outside cold air space, for proper ventilation. So as that happens and you get these warmer temperatures and that snow starts melting from the bottom side because of the heat coming out of the roof, and then you've got your 1 foot or so overhang, so when that melts and runs down there, it gets cold again. That area is very cold and refreezes. So this process, it creates like a ridge of ice, or it's what they call an ice dam. And so that basically prevents additional melting snow from being able to drain off down the roof. So instead it traps that, backs that water up, actually works it up behind the shingles and gets in and can seep in underneath the shingles. And then it potentially causes water damage to the roof of the home, the sheeting under the roof, the framing, and then to your drywall inside. So signs of that happening a lot. A couple of them are actually from the outside. Of course, the first is from the inside. If you're seeing water stains and leaks on the interior ceiling or wall, and it's kind of near on the ceiling near the outside wall, and a lot of times you'll start to see this come spring because it's happening in the winter and it repeatedly keeps getting wet, and then all of a sudden it's starting to warm up and it seems like you're now finding these water stains. But if you look from the outside of the home, then you can kind of see if there's icicles hanging from your roof edge or your gutter. That can be a sign that there's some ice damming going on, or just uneven snow melting patterns on that roof. If you look at that roof and it's really melting way different over here than here, if you look at the front of your roof and it's covered with snow and you've got a patch on the left-hand side that's kind of melting away, you know you've got some kind of leak, attic air moving and heat from the home going up and getting up in there and causing that. So some of the causes of this ice damming situation is poor attic insulation. You've got your warm air from your living space escaping into the attic, heat getting into that in the underside of the roof, can lights, where the lights are, attic scuttles, attic whole house fans that are in the ceiling into the attic cause a lot of heat loss from the house into that attic. So that can be another one. So temperature fluctuations can cause it. And then, of course, inadequate ventilation, lack of any proper airflow, getting air moving, getting that air out of that attic can also cause that from happening. So it can cause some real problems for you in that. So, but hey, it seems like we got Vince on the line. We got a really quick time here. Vince, what's going on?
Okay, I'm trying to change a outlet in the kitchen. It's a GCIF. Can I do that on my own, or do I need to call an electrician?
No, if you follow the instructions and you turn the power off from the box, follow the instructions, make sure you get the right wires in the right places, make sure the ground is hooked up like it says. It's just like really replacing any other outlet. Just follow the instructions and do it the way it says, and you should be good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, that is a good DIY. If you're not afraid of getting shocked, the electrical, make sure you turn that power off. Make sure you got it off in on the right one. Cell phones have helped that really greatly, because you can plug that tester into that outlet. Then you can have somebody standing there, and as you're checking the breakers, they can kind of tell you, yep, it's off. They've made it a lot easier for us in how we figure out projects, understand them, translate it to everybody else, and communicate between one another. So, hey, had a great time. A lot of great questions and everything. Remember, be good to your homes, and I can't wait to talk to everybody next week.